This evening's reading is from Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, and ending chapter 4, verse 13. Hebrews chapter 3. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of a house has the greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, bearing witness to what would be spoken by God in the future. But Christ is faithful as the Son over God's house, and we are his house, if indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory. So, as the Holy Scripture says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested and tried me, though for 40 years they saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation. I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. As has just been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies perished in the wilderness? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them, because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. Now we, who have believed, enter that rest, just as God has said, so I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet, his works have been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words, on the seventh day God rested from all his works. And again in the passage above he says, they shall never enter my rest. Therefore, since it still remains for some to enter that rest, and since those who formerly had the good news proclaimed to them did not go in because of their disobedience, God again set a certain day, calling it today. This he did when a long time later he spoke through David, as in the passage already quoted. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account.
Thanks, Andy. Well, that's a long reading. And I'm not going to confess to say that we're going to try and pick it all apart this evening, but we're going to ask God to teach us some of the big lessons from this. We're actually trying to go a bit quicker through the book of Hebrews just to get the big picture. And then hopefully that will encourage kind of more careful study of some of the details that as we go through. But let me pray, and then let's think about that reading together. Our gracious God and merciful Father, we thank you that you inspired this letter to the Hebrews to be written down. You inspired it through your Holy Spirit. And we ask, please, that the very same Holy Spirit who inspired this letter would be among us tonight, bringing this letter to live, to be sharper than a double-edged sword, to challenge us and encourage us and help us along the way. And we ask this, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. Winston Churchill famously said this. I think it's accredited to many people, but it should appear on the screen. It says, "Those who fail to learn from history are doomed to repeat it." Those who fail to learn from history are doomed to repeat it. That's true, isn't it? Let me just give you a silly example. But the Howard family, we do not travel well. Okay, we are a very travel-sick family. One of the most horrendous times, I will spare you the details, but one of the most horrendous times was a ferry trip we once took to, which was it? Jersey. We went to Jersey one year, and we took this ferry out to Jersey. And it was horrendous, absolutely awful. And those who would learn a lesson, there would be a lesson there from history, right? Don't take a ferry. That's a lesson from history. Did the Howards learn the lesson? What do you think? No, we were doomed. We didn't learn the lesson from history, so we were doomed to repeat it. And we decided we'd take a ferry to France. Was it any better? No, it was awful. Those who fail to learn lessons from history are doomed to repeat it. It's true in all sorts of ways, just silly ways like that as well. But tonight, the writer of Hebrews wants us to learn a lesson from history so that we, sitting here tonight, are not doomed to repeat it. Now, what is that lesson that he wants us to learn? Well, it'll appear on the screen. The lesson is this: be careful how we hear God's word today so that we don't miss out on God's rest tomorrow. This is the lesson that he wants us to learn, and we're just going to think about this tonight. Be careful how you hear God's word today, as long as it's called today, so that we don't miss out on God's rest tomorrow. And what I want to show you just briefly as we go through this evening is how we get that lesson from this portion of the scriptures. So let's just break that apart. First lesson: be careful how we hear God's word today. Now, we all understand, don't we, that there are two ways to hear something, two ways to listen to someone's voice. Now, I'm sorry to be self-deprecating twice tonight, but a quick trip to our house at mealtime would illustrate this very nicely, okay? So it's mealtime in the Howard house. Emma's gone to all the effort of cooking. I come in and do the job at the end of just calling everyone down for dinner. That's my only contribution to dinner. And here it goes. I say, right, everyone, dinner's ready. And my voice carries out beautifully to the far corners of the house where the Howards are scattered. And doing their thing, whatever their thing is. And my voice goes to various people in the house, and as it arrives, as the voice is heard, people do various things with it. Sometimes my voice is met with belief and obedience. Dinner really is ready. And so people start to ascend the stairs and come down because they believe me and they respond to the voice. Others, I can only ascribe it to the fact that they don't believe that dinner's actually ready. They think that I'm just having a laugh when I get in, and there is no movement around the house. There is no coming down for dinner. They hear my voice, but it's met with disobedience. It's met with unbelief. Or perhaps it's just a choice. They hear it, but they're hard to it because they'd rather be carrying on the thing that they're doing. It's better. It's better than eating dinner. That's not true of all my children. That is, some of them love dinner. But you see how it works. Today, if you hear my voice is heard by lots of people in the house, but actually what you do with the voice is different. How you hear is different. The writer to the Hebrews is telling us that the same is true when it comes not to a voice calling you down to dinner, but to hearing the voice of God, the word of God. And in the book of Hebrews, when he's talking about the voice of God, he's talking especially about the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll remember back in chapter 1 and verse 2 that it said, in these last days, God has spoken to us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's what we do with the voice of Jesus that really matters. There are two types of hearing. And that's what the writer of the Hebrews is warning about tonight in our reading. That's what he's warning us as his listeners about. He's warning about the wrong type of listening. Now, if you've got your Bible, it actually kind of works. There's the two bookends, stuff which we'll come to, but we're going to dive into the middle because he makes his main point right in the middle of our reading this evening. And there's a little refrain that shows itself up three times. And this is what it says. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Did you notice that repeated? Look at chapter 3, verse 7. Today, if you hear his voice, it's there. And you get it in again in chapter 3 and verse 15. Today, if you hear his voice. And then again, we get it in chapter 4 and verse 7. The point is clear. Be careful how you hear God's word, the message that comes to us through Jesus Christ, and the message that is about Jesus Christ. And so here's the lesson from history. Remember, those who don't learn lessons from history are doomed to repeat it. So what is the lesson from history? Well, the lesson from history comes from Psalm 95. So to help people learn from this lesson, the writer to the Hebrews picks up a bit of the Bible, and that bit of the Bible that he picks up is Psalm 95. You see that? That's the indented stuff you've got there. That is a quote from the Old Testament. And in Psalm 95, King David, ancient King David, is urging people, the people of his day, his today, to be careful how they hear God's words. He urges them to not repeat the mistake of the past. Now, what is the mistake of the past that David refers to? Well, look at verse 8 and 9. Do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. A particular time he has in mind, during the time of testing in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested and tried me for 40 years, even though they saw what I did. The people of the past heard God, but they hardened their hearts. They hardened it against God, against his voice, failing to believe him and failing to obey him. Now, what incident is David referring to? Well, David is referring, he's looking back on a time when God took his people, David's people, out of their slavery in Egypt, and he promised to bring them to a new land, a new home. And he's looking at a time of history when they were journeying from their rescue to the rest of the promised land. And on that journey, along the way, they started to face hardships. It got tough following God to the promised land. They were hungry. They faced enemies. They were thirsty. And particularly, that's the event that he has in mind here. And as things got tough, the people of God started to think, oh, it was better back in Egypt. It was better back there. This is tough. I don't want to be doing this. I want to go back to Egypt. Now, do you notice the similarity with those that the writer here writes to in Hebrews? Because they wanted to be back. It was tough following Jesus. And so he's making a parallel. And then their hearts became hard to the things that God had to say to them. That they refused to believe God. They refused to listen to God's word to them through Moses. Now we go to the bookends of the chapter that we've looked at. Because Moses is introduced to us as the servant of God's household. Moses is introduced to us as one sent from God who brings a message, God's word. And they refuse to believe Moses. They refused to believe the one that God sent, who was servant over God's house, over God's people. And in the heat of the moment, when the pressure was on, when they were thirsty, they hardened their hearts against God. They refused to hear what he had to say. God's word made no difference. God's word did not change them. They wouldn't let it. They refused to believe him. And what was the result? Well, look at verse 10. That is why God says, I was angry with that generation. I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. And so David, in Psalm 95, is urging the people of his day, today, to learn the lesson from history. And what is the lesson? Well, you see it there, verse 7. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Don't repeat the mistake of history. And that's where this letter then urges us to do something similar. Now listen, we're going to do some work here for a second. So if you've tuned out, this is where we need to tune back in. Because what we're learning something in Hebrews isn't just the lesson today if you hear his voice. But we're learning something about the use of the Bible. Because actually what the writer to Hebrews does is he picks up, like we do every Sunday, he picks up a bit of the Bible, Psalm 95, he writes it out to them, and then he explains it. That's what we do here every Sunday. And the reason that he does that is because he believes that the words that God wrote in the past are actually the things that God says to us in the present. So have a look at verse 7. What does it say in verse 7? So the Holy Spirit says... He doesn't say that he did say once long ago. No, the Holy Spirit says today, as we pick up the Bible, as we pick up portions like Psalm 95, or if we pick up a bit of Nehemiah like we did this morning, as we read that, it's not that God said this a long time ago, but actually God is saying it through his Holy Spirit today. God is applying lessons to us through the Bible. That's why in chapter 4, verse 12, it tells us that the word of God is alive and active. This is not just history book. This is a book through which God today, by his Holy Spirit, is speaking to us. The Holy Spirit says. And so the writer to Hebrews picks up Psalm 95 and he says, look, this is what David wrote in the past, but the Holy Spirit says to you and to all of us reading it tonight, this is what the Holy Spirit says today, if we hear his voice, if we hear what Jesus says to us, if we hear the gospel, do not harden your hearts like they did in the past. We too have to learn this lesson from history. See, look at verse 12. Having quoted the Bible, having picked up this Psalm 95, he then applies it to those that he writes to. Look at verse 12. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful and unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. This is the lesson from history applied. We too have heard the word of God, not from Moses, but we've heard it from Jesus. See, come back with me to where our reading started, chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. We've got a message from Jesus, who is described here as an apostle, one sent from God. And he's described as a high priest, one who represents us before God, a theme that Hebrews comes back to. And the question for us is, what will we do with his word? What will we do with his voice? The son, not just the servant over God's house. And the danger is that as we hear God's word taught, As we hear the gospel of Jesus, the danger for us is that our hearts grow hard. The word of God has no impact upon us. That's certainly my problem. That's my inherent problem, is that as I hear the word of God, my heart is naturally hard to it. Think about if I had a stone here and a sponge here. If I pour water on the stone, where does it go? It just runs off, doesn't it? It's hard. If I pour water into the sponge, where does it go? It soaks in. And our human problem is that actually our hearts are more like the stone than the sponge when it comes to God's word. And so I need to hear this warning against the natural tendency of my heart to be hard to the word of God. My heart's naturally hard, is yours? And to be hard-hearted means that I struggle to believe and to receive the things that God says to me. I struggle to believe what he tells me about myself and my sin. I struggle to believe what he tells me about the future and where this world is heading. Being hard-hearted means I won't let God's word change me. And so this evening, as we tune into the lesson of Hebrews chapter 3 and 4, what is the impact of God's word on you? What does God's word do as you come to church each week? Maybe some of you have the habits of trying to read the Bible in the week. What does God's word do to you? What do you do as you hear the voice of God preached? You see, this is a lesson from history that warns us not merely to be hearers of the word, but to be those who combine what we hear with belief and with obedience. It talks about how we hear it. See, look at verse 13. In the middle of verse 13, he uses this little phrase, which if you just chew on it for a while, and I wish we had longer to, but it talks about our hearts becoming hardened by the deceitfulness of sin, the sin's deceitfulness. You see, one of the things about sin is it's really deceitful. Sin wraps itself up in promises that it can never fulfill. The promises of happiness, the promises of making your life complete. And when we are drawn into sin, going the wrong way, going away from God, then it hardens our hearts. It hardens our hearts to the things that God says. It lures us into traps. And that's why I constantly need to hear this warning to not have a hard heart, to fight a hard heart. And that's why verse 13, look at what it says, but encourage one another daily as long as it is called today. See, we need one another in this fight against hard-heartedness. It's why Christian community is so important. You know, we've just had a couple of years, haven't we, where Christian community has been challenged in all sorts of ways through a global pandemic. But why is Christian community so important? Because I have a hard heart, and I need other people to help me overcome that hard heart. I need other people to encourage me and call out when sin has been deceitful and has lured me in. We need one another today, every day, as we go through this battle of hearing God's word. And so here is a lesson from history. Be careful how you hear God's word today, what you do with God's word today. Pray for a soft heart. When you hear the Bible, pray for a heart that responds to God's word, a heart that responds to the message of the Lord Jesus. And why? Well, here's the second part of the lesson. Be careful how you hear God's word today so that we don't miss out on God's rest tomorrow. See, look at verse 11. Again, from Psalm 95, the writer picks up this portion of the Bible, and he says the end there, so I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. We've been introduced to the idea of hearing God's word. Now we're introduced to another idea of rest. It's a two-point sermon. That's what the writer of the Hebrews is doing here. He's applying God's word, hearing God's word, and now he's going to talk about rest. So back to our lesson from history. In Psalm 95, the people of David's day, his today, they did not enter the rest. He's warning them that these people of the past did not enter the rest because they didn't listen to God. Now, what's the rest he's talking about? Well, remember that group that were traveling from Egypt to the promised land? Well, they refused to believe God. And then halfway through this journey, they rebelled against God. And so God says, well, you're not going to enter the promised land. And they wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years, and they never made it to the rest of the promised land. Why not? Well, we're told, verse 19, so we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. These people had privileges. They were privileged of being drawn out of Egypt. They had privileges of hearing God's voice coming from a mountain. They had privilege after privilege. But because of unbelief, they didn't enter the rest. They missed out on the rest of the promised land. And so what are we to learn from this lesson of history? Well, the good news, actually, of this passage is that the rest of entering the promised land of Canaan was never intended to be God's final rest. Actually, the writer of the Hebrews here throughout chapter 4 is showing us that there's a better rest. The rest still stands. That the rest of entering the promised land of Canaan, the Old Testament story, only points on to a much better, a much deeper, a much fuller rest, which is the rest of heaven. You see, look at chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. The rest still stands. Look at chapter 4, verse 3. Now we who have believed enter that rest. There's a rest that we can still enter into right now. Chapter 4, verse 9. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. The wonderful news for us listening to this lesson from the past is that there seems to be a rest to come. There's something still there that we haven't missed out on yet. Now what is it? It's the rest of heaven. It's the rest of hope. The hope of heaven, our hope for tomorrow, not literally tomorrow, although it would be great if it was tomorrow. Many of us would like that, right? But actually, hope for the future, contrasted to the today, what we do with today. When we wake up tomorrow, it will be today again. And what we do with God's word in a today matters, so that we don't miss out on the rest of tomorrow. So how do we enter this rest? How do we get to heaven? Well, we know how we don't get there. Don't we? Chapter 3, verse 19. We don't get there through unbelief. So what's the flip side? We get there through belief. We get there through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Not by our works, not by our efforts. We get there by faith. You see that? Look at chapter 4 and verse 2. For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. We get to heaven by believing what God has told us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we've got some helps along the way. If that's how we get there, how do we stay on track with belief? Well, chapter 4, verse 1, let us be careful that none of you have fallen short. Now that little phrase there, be careful, actually translates a phrase which sometimes in our English translations talks about being fearful. Now that may seem like an odd thing, you know, should we be fearful in the Christian life? Well, fear is a really powerful tool, isn't it? And the fear of missing out on heaven is something that should drive us to stay on the right path of belief. Chapter 4, verse 2, we've got to obey the message. Obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then come with me to chapter 4 and verse 11. Just letting this lesson sink in. Chapter 4 verse 11. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. We strive. Making every effort is to strive for it. You see, please don't misunderstand. We don't get to heaven. It's not like we're saved by Jesus Christ, who's made purification for our sins, and then it's all about our effort to get to heaven. No, that's not what he's saying here. We're saved. We enter the rest by faith in Jesus Christ. But the journey takes effort. It takes striving. It's a fight. It's a fight that God equips us for and calls us to, but it still takes effort. Any of us who've been a Christian for a while know that. We strive for. It's an active thing. And so with the help of Jesus, our apostle, the one sent from heaven, and our high priest, the one who mediates for us, we fight. We fight for this rest. Now, what does that look like? Well, I keep coming back to chapter 3, verse 13. Fighting for this rest, striving for this rest, looks like helping one another. You see that? Encourage one another. You see, I often think that we're not very good at this as a church, which is developing a culture of calling out where sin has hardened our hearts. You know, if someone walked up to you after church today and said, hey, you know that thing that you've been doing lately? I'm a little bit worried that maybe sin's deceived you a bit and that you're heading off course. Now, can you imagine the uproar if someone came and said that to us after church? How dare you say that to me? There's a real fear, isn't there, as we point these things out to one another of being judgmental or critical. But we're called to help one another. Look, sin is really deceitful. It doesn't walk up to you and say, hey, I'm a big sinner and I'm going to try and take you off course from heaven. No, it deceives. It tries to drag us off course. And so we need to help one another where sin is hardening our hearts, where maybe habits have pulled us away from things that are good for us or things are building up in our lives. We've got to encourage one another. We need to create a culture at church of saying, is that the right thing to be doing? You know, just pointing out, I have the same problems, my heart's got the same issues, but are you being deceived by sin? Let's pull each other up as we go along on the journey. And thankfully, it's not just each other. But we also, as we strive to get to that rest, have the help of the Lord Jesus. Come back with me to chapter 2 and verse 18. Here it describes Jesus as one who's tempted in every way, suffered when he was tempted, and therefore he is able to help those who are being tempted. As we strive for heaven, as I'm tempted with a hard heart, I can go to Jesus for help. Isn't that good news? Did Jesus really get tempted with a hard heart? Actually, yes, if he was human. He had to make choices what to do with his Father's voice every day. That's part of his humanity. But he did it without failing. He listened to the Father's voice. He didn't harden his heart. And so he can help us in the same. So friends, here's the lesson. The lesson from history. Be careful how you hear God's word today, so that we don't miss out on God's rest tomorrow. And I wonder tonight if that's a bit of a hard lesson for some of us to swallow. Maybe we find that a bit hard-hitting. But Jesus' words in the parable of the sower remind us that not everyone who hears the word of God will enter the rest of heaven. We're only cutting, the writer of the Hebrews is only cutting with what Jesus says. Rather, who is it that enters the rest of heaven? We'll look at chapter 3, verse 6. But Christ is faithful as Son over God's house, and we are his house if indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory. Or again, chapter 4, verse 14. No, I don't mean 14. Where do I mean? Chapter 3, verse 14. Sorry. We have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. That's who makes the rest of heaven. I started with a quote from Winston Churchill, and here it is. Those who fail to learn from history are doomed to repeat it. The Howard family failed to learn the lesson of traveling on a ferry. Sadly, the people of God in the past failed to learn the lesson that refusing to listen to the voice of God, having a hard heart, meant they missed out on the rest. But the Holy Spirit says to us tonight, today, if we hear God's voice, if we hear Christ speaking to us, if we hear the gospel, do not harden our hearts. Be careful how we listen. Pray for a soft heart so that we don't miss out on the rest of heaven tomorrow. May, with God's help, we learn this lesson from history and walk the path of listening to and obeying the Lord Jesus with his help. Let's pray some of that in, and then we'll sing in response. Our Father in heaven, please help us to learn the lessons from the past sins of your people, who over time and hardships hardened their hearts against your voice. Father, I know how naturally my heart is hard to your voice. Please would you give us a soft heart to all that you have and continue to speak to us today through your Bible about Jesus. May your word continue to be living and active among us. Help us to make every effort this week to enter the rest of heaven by encouraging one another to believe in Jesus, our apostle and high priest. Keep us from the temptation to head back into life without Jesus, just to avoid the costs of following him. Help us to hold our original conviction firmly to the end. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, a sermon like that, or listening to